It's wonderful to be back, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to continue to learn together. Don't take it for granted. And Amir Tashem, next year we're going to return to our in-person learning. But as Mrs. Cement said, you know, we're sort of just after Pesach, and in some ways it feels like it was forever ago. And I want to begin with an article that I clipped out of Mishpacha magazine a bunch of years ago, which really made a roshim on me. It was very memorable when I read it. The title of the piece was, "How Did Pesach Go?" which is an expression that we sometimes hear. And Rabbi Moshe Grelick wrote the following. It's the week after Pesach, and as usual, we're all asking each other, "So how did Pesach go?" And everyone replies with a brief summary or a lengthy saga of how Pesach went. That seemingly innocuous question was a pet peeve of the renowned Mashgiach of Yeshivas Chevron, Rav Meir Chadash. What do you mean, how did Pesach go? Is Pesach some kind of disease that everyone hopes will go away, leaving no trace behind? Like, where exactly are we trying to get Pesach to go? Pesach is our oxygen. Each year we have the chance to renew that exhilarating experience of liberty under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection. To walk out of Mitzrayim here and now. It's not just a poetic expression. The process of redemption that began on that night of protection has continued through many evolutions and will continue until the final redemption may come speedily in our days. It isn't something that comes and goes. There's no moving on from it. It's meant to stay with us all year round. And I remember thinking about that because we all use that expression. How is your Pesach? Or how did Pesach go? And the goal is not that Pesach should go. The goal is that Pesach should stay. At the end of the Seder, there's a little tefillah. It's a beautiful tefillah. It's a beautiful song that we all love to sing. Chasal Sidur Pesach, Kehil Chaso. We've completed the order of the Pesach night to the best of our ability, and we express a longing to bring the Karvan Pesach in the future. The Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, from Lubavitch, he didn't say that. He didn't say that paragraph. Because he felt, Chasal Sidur Pesach, we finished with Pesach? We don't finish with Pesach. There's no such thing as finishing with Pesach. In fact, Moshe Wolfson pointed out, if you look at the words, Chasal Sidur Pesach, the first three letters actually spell out Pesach. Chasal Sidur Pesach. Which means as you come to the end of the Haggadah, and you're finishing up your Pesach Seder, you're reminding yourself that as we say goodbye to Pesach, we're also holding on to Pesach. Because a Jew doesn't want to let go of Pesach. We want to take Pesach with us the entire year. It's the foundation of the calendar year, and we try to hold on to it. So that's why I always find it very important for us, you know, in the days after Pesach, to keep talking about Pesach, to keep thinking about Pesach, to figure out what does it mean to hold on to Pesach. And that's exactly what we're going to try to do today. How do we hold on to Pesach? How do we assess the success of our Yom Tov? And part of that answer is in a pasuk in source number 2. V'hoya hayom azel lachem lezikaron, v'chagosem oso chag la'ashem ledoraseichem, chukas olam techaguhu. How do you assess your Pesach? How good was Pesach? How did it go? What's your report card? What's your score for Pesach Tavshin Pei Aleph? Well, the Vision Tzarebi explained, V'hoya hayom hazel lachem lezikaron. Obviously, the Pashat Pshat in the Pasuk is, this day should be remembered for all generations, and you should celebrate a holiday, Chagosem Oso Chag LaHashem. But the Vision Tzarebi said, to the degree that there's a zikaron, to the degree that you remember it and hold on to it, it's to the same degree of a Chagosem Oso Chag LaHashem. In other words, if you remember Pesach, if you live with it, if you continue to taste the matzah in your mouth, so to speak, that the afikoman remains in your mouth, not only at the end of the night, but it goes beyond Nisan to Iyar, etc., through the calendar year. So that's a sign that it was really a Chag LaHashem. But if there's no zikaron, if there's no remembrance of Pesach, if there's no holding on to Pesach, then to what degree have we really celebrated with Hashem? To what degree have we really had a true encounter with Hashem? I'm sure many of us remember the Rashi in Parshas Bo, on the words, Ushmartem es hamatzos. Right? Of course, there's a mitzvah of shmura matzah. At the Seder, we eat matzah of the highest shmira. But Rashi quotes, in the name of the Medrash, an opinion of Rav Yoshia said, Ushmartem es hamatzos doesn't only mean to guard the matzah. But many of us remember this Rashi. Al tehi kore es hamatzos, ela es hamitzos. Guard the mitzvos. Don't just guard the matzah for one night, but guard the mitzvos. What does it mean to guard the mitzvos? K'derech she'ein machmitzen es ha-matzah. Just like we protect the matzah from becoming chametz, so too we protect the mitzvos from becoming chametz. In other words, when a mitzvah opportunity comes your way, seize that opportunity right away. In ba liyadcha asei osa miyad. If a mitzvah comes your way, do it immediately. But the question is, what's the connection between the matzah and the mitzvos? I mean, it's a cute play on words. We get it. And matzah has to be baked quickly, and mitzvos should be done with a sense of passion and zeal and alacrity. But what's the connection between matzah and all the mitzvos? In what way is matzah connected to all of the mitzvos? So the answer, perhaps, and I saw this in the writings of Rav Moshe Wolfson, is based on an understanding of what is matzah. Matzah, of course, is a zecher to what we experienced on the way out of Mitzrayim, holach ma'anya, but the Zohar has a phrase for the matzah. The Zohar calls matzah the raza d'mehamnusa, whereas sometimes it's expressed elsewhere, the mechla d'mehamnusa, the secret of emuna, raza, raza means a secret, or the mechla, the meichel, the food of emuna. When you eat matzah, it's like eating emuna. And I think we spoke about that a little bit before Pesach. So explained Rav Moshe Wolfson, just like emuna is the first mitzvah that we heard at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And just like emuna is really the root of every single thing that I do. Because why do I keep Shabbos? Because I believe in Hashem. Why do I keep kosher, this week's Parsha? Because I believe in Hashem. Why do I eat matzah on Pesach? Because I believe in Hashem. Everything I do is because I believe in Hashem. So therefore, matzah, which is the food of amunah, amunah being sort of that foundational principle of Kol HaTorah Kula, matzah therefore becomes the food of amunah. Pesach becomes the Yom Tov of amunah, as the Nesivos Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, called it the Rosh Hashanah le'amunah. And if amunah is the root of all the mitzvos, that means Pesach, in a sense, opens us up to Kol HaTorah Kula. Pesach is not an end. Pesach's a beginning. Pesach gets us moving in the direction of the entirety of mitzvos. There's a beautiful remez that Rav Moshe Wolfson brings to this idea. He says, if you take the word matzos, as it appears in the pasuk, matzos, or mitzvos, and you spell out the letters, mem, tzadi, vav, tav, it's Gematria 613. If you take the word Pesach, and you spell out the letters, pei, samach, ches, it's also 613. Why? What's the idea? The idea is that Pesach, matzah, it's the root of everything that's going to come afterwards. The entirety of the Torah is opening up to us at Pesach. So God forbid to walk away from a Yom Tov like Pesach and to say, like, thank you very much, Hashem, it was great. How did Pesach go? It was good. It came, it went, and now we go back to our regular lives. No, Pesach is a starting point. Pesach is the beginning of a journey that we're going to continue, Amir Tzashem, for many, many, many months ahead. In fact, the Unkelis, the Targum Unkelis, the Aramaic translation for the word matzah is patira. What does patira mean? Well, the word sounds familiar to us in the context of, let's take this pasuk, Kadesh li kol bechor, peter kol rechem. A firstborn child, right, the bechor who has a kedusha, is the peter kol rechem. What does peter kol rechem mean? A firstborn, the one who's peter, who opens up the mother's womb, the firstborn child, has a sanctity. So the word peter means what? An opening, as Rashi explains. Shepasach es rechem tchila. The child that opened up the mother's womb, the one that made the mother into a mother for the first time. So matzah is called in Aramaic petira, as if to say matzah is an opening. Matzah is the beginning of the adventure. Matzah is the beginning of the journey. Matzah is not at all the end of the story. Pesach is not the end of the story. The Baal HaTanya, again, he didn't even want to say the words, Chasal Sidur Pesach. We've completed the order of the Pesach. We haven't completed anything. We're literally just beginning the journey. So let's talk about where we're up to right now in the journey. And let's try to point ourselves in the right direction. And let's understand all of the avoda that lies ahead. Obviously, right now we're in the days of Sfiras HaOmer. Today is the 10th day of the Omer. If you didn't count Sfiras HaOmer and you want to count, today is the 10th day of the Omer. You can still count without a bracha, even if you didn't count last night. So explains Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu first encountered Hashem at the burning bush. What is the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Right, so we could be all excited. We left Mitzrayim. Yay, we went through Pesach. We left Mitzrayim. We did a lot of mitzvos. We had a Pesach Seder. Where are we trying to get to? What's the goal of Chayrus? Hashem says to Moshe, when he's standing there by the sneh, Vayomer ki ayah imach v'ze l'cha ha'os ki anochi shelachticha. This will be the sign that I have sent you, that you are the savior of the Jewish people. This will be the indicator that the mission is going to be complete. Behotziacha es ha'am mimitzrayim ta'avdun es ha'lokim ala har hazeh. When you come back to this mountain, when you come to Har Sinai, that will be the indication that the mission is complete. In other words, leaving Mitzrayim is really, again, just the beginning of the journey. We want to get to Har Sinai, which again is clear during these days of Sfiras HaOmer. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived at Shavuos yet. We haven't received the Torah yet. We've literally just walked out of Mitzrayim, and the journey is just beginning. So that's the avoda of these days. The avoda of these days is to realize that Pesach is not over, that the journey is continuing on, and the avoda of Sfiras HaOmer is to keep moving towards Kabbalah Sator. Let me ask you a question about Sfiras HaOmer, a very interesting question about Sfiras HaOmer. We know that when we have mitzvos that come around in the calendar year, every now and again, we introduce that mitzvah with a bracha of Shehechianu. So when we take our esrog for the first time, we say a bracha of Shehechianu. When we make kiddush on the night of the Seder, so we begin, of course, the Yom Tov, we invite the Yom Tov Shehechianu. When we have unique mitzvah opportunities, when we start a new mitzvah, we start with a Shehechianu. Why don't we say Shehechianu on Sfiras HaOmer? That's a mitzvah we haven't done in a long time. When Sfiras HaOmer arrives, why don't we recite the bracha of Shehechianu in anticipation and excitement for the mitzvah of Sfiras? So I want to share with you a beautiful explanation from Rav Menachem Ganakta, really based on the words of Rav Soloveitchik. And again, it will help us to understand the whole avoda of these days. Where are we trying to get to? This question is an age-old question. Why don't we say Shehechianu on Sfiras HaOmer? We're so excited to have this mitzvah of counting the days to Kabbalah Satorah. So Rabbi Ganak in his Sefer Birchas Yitzchak in Parshas Emor offers the following explanation. First, he quotes from some of the Rishonim who explained to us that you have to realize Sfiras HaOmer today is a little bit of a tragedy. Why is it a tragedy? Because think about it. How did Sfiras HaOmer work according to the Torah? Open up a Chumash. When do we start to count Sfira? The Torah says after we bring the Karban HaOmer. On the second day of Pesach, we bring a special Karban called the Karban HaOmer, the first of the grain offerings of the season. We don't have a Karban today. So the Sfiras HaOmer that we do, Bizman HaZeh, the counting of the Omer that we do today, according to many Rishonim, is only Midrabanan. It's a way of remembering what once was. So how can we possibly say, Shehechianu, V'kiyamanu, V'giyanu, L'zman HaZeh, we're so excited to count Sfiras HaOmer once again. We don't have the real Sfiras HaOmer. We don't have the Karban HaOmer that introduced this whole process. And therefore, there's a tragic element to counting Sfira. There's a certain pain that we feel when we count Sfira, because with each count, we remind ourselves, but we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on this idea, that the avelus that we experience during these days, if I were to ask you, why do we have certain practices of mourning during the days of Sfira? So you would tell me, because of the students of Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva passed away. It's a tragic time. But Rav Soloveitchik said, part of the tragedy of these days is that the Sfiras HaOmer that we have is not the real Sfiras HaOmer. We don't have the Karban HaOmer to kick off this process. And therefore, every night when we count Sfira, we feel a little bit of that pain. And it's that pain which prevents us from making the bracha of Shehechianu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. But then Rav Soloveitchik said something even more profound, which I think will resonate with us in a deep way. Rav Soloveitchik explained, and now we read inside, Va'od Amr Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Ganak quoting his Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. Tam lama in mavarchin Shehechianu al Sfiras HaOmer. Why do we not say Shehechianu today when we count Sfiras HaOmer? Rav Soloveitchik created an emotional experience for us. Listen to the words. Mishum dechol ha'inyin hu, shemechakim le'eis shel Kabbalas HaTorah. We spend the days of Sfiras HaOmer longing to get to what? The end of the process. We want so badly not just to leave Mitzrayim, but we want to contextualize the purpose of leaving Mitzrayim, and that means getting the Torah. So every day we're counting Sfira with this anticipation. We want to get to our Sinai. We want to get to our Sinai. We want to get to our Sinai. That's the whole purpose of leaving Mitzrayim. And in fact, that's the whole purpose of Klal Yisrael's existence. Shekol ikaran shel Yisrael eino ela Torah. The Jewish people are nothing without their Torah. That's what defines us. What makes us a people? What inspires our lives, if not the Torah? And therefore, explained Rav Soloveitchik, when do we say Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu lizman hazeh? When we're acknowledging, I'm so happy that I arrived at this point. But we can't start on day one of Sfiras HaOmer saying, I'm so happy that I've arrived at this point. You know why? Because we're not so happy that we've arrived at this point. We're not there yet. We want to get to Kabbalah HaTorah. Some explain that when we actually get to Kabbalah HaTorah, when we arrive at Har Sinai, when we make the Shechiyanu, entering into the Yom Tov of Shavuos, that Shechiyanu, in a sense, is going back on the entire Sfiras HaOmer. But to say Shechiyanu at the beginning of Sfiras HaOmer would imply that Pesach is over, Pesach has come and gone, Sfiras HaOmer is kind of its own thing, and we're there, we've arrived, we haven't arrived. We're longing to get there. Rabbi Ganak uses this to explain another interesting phenomenon, and that is, why don't we say Shechiyanu at a wedding? You would think Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. People wait so long to find a spouse, to find someone who they're committed to spending the rest of their life with. And yet, when you finally stand under the chuppah, you would think, what better moment, what greater moment of simcha, of excitement, to be able to recite Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. How do we not make a Shechiyanu at a wedding? We make a Shechiyanu on a new fruit. We make a Shechiyanu on a new garment. We make a Shechiyanu on a Yom Tov that comes around every year, as exciting as it is. On a wedding, we don't make Shechiyanu. Explained Rabbi Ganak, based on this principle of Rav Soloveitchik, that you don't make Shechiyanu on something that's just the beginning of a journey. Rabbi Ganak said such a beautiful idea. Aval lefi divrei mori v'rabi zatzal. Based on the words of Rav Soloveitchik, we can explain. Dibinisuin ein zerak zman echad b'shas chuppah v'kiddushin. Because if you see your wedding as the final destination, you have failed to understand what a marriage is. The wedding is just the beginning of the journey. The wedding is the moment where the chasen and kala begin their life together, and the hope in not saying Shechiyanu is that our marriage is going to get deeper, our relationship is going to get stronger. Ela she'anu mitzapim shebechol yom v'yom hayaches ben ish li'ishto yamik yoser v'yoser, that the relationship is going to grow deeper and deeper with each passing day. If I say Shechiyanu at the wedding, that means it's all downhill from here. The relationship can't possibly improve. And therefore, by holding off on that Shechiyanu, we're saying, I hope that my life, my marriage, will become more joyous. My relationship will become deeper. The home that we're going to build together is just at the very, very beginning of its creation. And it's going to bear such beautiful fruits down the road. Such a beautiful insight into the lack of Shechiyanu that appears under the wedding canopy. But again, he builds it off of this idea that there's no Shechiyanu in Sfiras HaOmer. Because my friends, we're only in the middle of the journey right now. We're not quite there yet. The truth is, this idea of Rav Soloveitchik is a very Hasidish idea. And I often like to find connections between Rav Soloveitchik and the world of Hasidus. Rav Soloveitchik, as a young boy, as much as he was a brisker, was also a shtickle Chassid. He had training from his Chabad Malamed as a young man. And it left a tremendous imprint upon his mind and his heart throughout his life. And the same idea that Rav Soloveitchik is expressing in his own language is expressed by Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev in his language, in the Kedushas Levi, in his writings on Sfiras HaOmer. And he adds just one other little element to it, so it's worth seeing the words of Rav Levi Yitzchak inside. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev again is asking the same question: why don't we make a Shechiyanu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? So he builds the idea in a little bit of a deeper way, off of the writings of the Arizal. And again, he quotes the pasuk that we mentioned before, Tavdun es Elokim al Har Hazeh, that the completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim is getting back to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. But he adds another element. When we left Mitzrayim, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. Chazal tell us we were on the 49th level of impurity. It would take 49 days to cleanse ourselves to be able to stand with Hashem at Har Sinai. And the Arizal actually makes an interesting comparison to the preparation that a woman goes through in preparing herself to go to the mikvah. That just as a woman prepares herself for 7 clean days before immersing in the mikvah to purify herself. The Jewish people collectively had to go through 7 weeks of purification, and that's what Sfiras HaOmer is on a deep level, to be able to come to our wedding with Hashem at Har Sinai. And therefore, explains Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, we can't make a Shechianu when we first leave Mitzrayim. We're not there yet. We don't feel that we've become the worthy spouse of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we're longing. We can't wait for these days to go by already so that we could stand under the chuppah with our beloved, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and get the Torah once again. And he writes, and again, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev was a very fiery Torah personality. He writes in his very passionate way, V'nimtza, 3 lines from the end of Source 11. V'nimtza shahayu mitzapim tamid masai ta'avur ha-mispar. The Jewish people couldn't say Shechianu because we were literally on the edge of our seats just waiting for these days to go by. We almost want to get these days. We can't say, we're so excited to arrive at these days. We're not excited to arrive at these days. We want to get to the other side of these days. Obviously, it's a process and we engage that process and we appreciate the process. But we want so badly to what? To get to those days of closeness to Hashem. Shiagia la'kirov. To get to that point where Hashem pulls us by His side under the chuppah of Har Sinai. We long for the days of Sfira to just be done with already. If we could somehow experience the entire thing in just one moment, we would do it. We so badly want to get there already. But Hashem says, slow down, there's a process. We want to be close to Hashem. We want to jump into your arms. Hashem says, slow down. But if we could get there in a second, we would. Azai ma tov u ma na'im haya lahem bazeh. How pleasant would that be to the Jewish people if we could somehow just get there in a second? But Hashem says there's a process. But we acknowledge the fact that we're not satisfied by not saying Shechianu. We're not happy where we are right now. And if we feel that Pesach has come and gone and we got everything that we need, we're missing the boat. We are in the middle of the journey right now. And our job is to continue on the way to Har Sinai. So let me add one final point, one final very important section to our shir. And that is, again, where are we right now? We left Mitzrayim already. We haven't gotten to Har Sinai yet. We're somewhere in the road, somewhere in the middle. Where are we? What did we most recently experience? We're a little bit into Sfiras HaOmer now. But let's go back to the end of Pesach one last time. Because again, Pesach doesn't end. Let's understand how we kind of said goodbye to the Egyptians once and for all, but how that becomes a springboard for what we're trying to do during these days. What am I referring to? I'm referring to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is a very, very important part of the Geula. We left Mitzrayim, but until we crossed the Yam 7 days later, there was something lacking in our redemption. Until we saw the Egyptians dead on the shores of the Yamsuf, there was something incomplete. We were still living with this paranoia that maybe we're going to get dragged back to Mitzrayim. We know that on the Seder night, we say Hallel in two stages. We say part of the Hallel at the end of Magid, and then we say Hallel in the step of the Haggadah that's called Hallel. How much Hallel do we say at that stage called Magid? How much Hallel do we say? So the Mishnah in Meseches Pesachim actually presents a machlokas. How much Hallel do you say? Should you say one paragraph of Hallel? Should you say two paragraphs of Hallel? Says the Mishnah in source number 12, Ad Heichan Hu Omer. We're going to say by the end of the night, we'll say the whole Hallel. But at the end of Magid, we say a portion of Hallel. Which part do we say? Beis Shammai Omrim Ad Eim Habanim Smecha. We say the first parak of Hallel, that first parak of Tehillim. Beis Hillel Omrim Ad Chalamish Lamaino Mayim. Beis Hillel says we need to add a second paragraph, that second chapter of Tehillim, in Hallel. And then we're ready, V'chosim B'geula, then we could end the Magid with the beautiful bracha of Ga'al Yisrael. Explains the Tosfos Yom Tov in the 16th century, a beautiful explanation, why and that's what we do. We do like Beis Hillel. We say a little bit more of the Hallel at Magid. Why is it so important for us to say that second paragraph of Hallel? Explains the Tosfos Yom Tov in his commentary on the Mishnayos. Because Beis Hillel understood that until you talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, you haven't completed Yitzias Mitzrayim. If the goal of Magid is this transformative journey, we start off as slaves, Maschil B'Gnus, Misayim B'Shevach, we end off as free people. So we can't stop without getting to the part of Hallel that talks about Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Hayam Ra'av Ayanos, that the sea split when it saw Klal Yisrael. Beis Hillel says you have to talk about that. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, Beis Hillel Savri, Kaven de Bemizmor Harishon Lo Nizkar Kriyas Yamsuf. Since the first paragraph of Hallel doesn't mention Kriyas Yamsuf, so then we haven't completed the Gula. Tzarech sheyomar gam hasheni. You need to say that second paragraph. Sheyesh bo haskaras kriyas yamsuf. It's that second paragraph that gets us to the other side of the water, so to speak. And then you're ready to say the bracha of geula. Ki lo noshu yisrael miyad mitzrayim ad shenikra lahem hayam. Because the Jewish people were not truly free until we crossed the yamsuf. V'nitbu ha-mitzrim. We saw the mitzrim drowned on the shores of the yamsuf. And then, as the Torah says, Vayosha, then the Jews were saved. What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf? And friends, if you could hold on to this more than anything else, this is what we can continue to live with after Pesach. We went through a Pesach, we had an awesome opportunity to do countless mitzvos, but what's the takeaway from Pesach? And as we march again towards Har Sinai, what did we gain from Pesach? What can we try to live with as we move away from Pesach, but continue that journey to Har Sinai? What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf? So one of the phrases that we see in the Az Yashir is Zeh Keli Va'anveyu. Zeh Keli Va'anveyu, this is my God, and I will glorify Him. And Rashi explains, Hashem was so clear to them at the Yamsuf, maybe more so than anything they saw in the miracles of Mitzrayim. There was such a clarity when they walked through the Yamsuf. They felt so unbelievably close to Hashem that Zeh Keli Va'anveyu, as Rashi explains, they were pointing to God. God doesn't have a body. Hashem doesn't have a physical expression. And yet they felt Hashem's presence in such a real way. Zeh, they could point. Rashi says, Zeh means something you could point to. Zeh Keli, this is my God, Va'anveyu. There was an unbelievable clarity at Kriyas Yamsuf. And an unbelievable closeness that the Jews felt at Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's what we're trying to hold on to during these days. Yes, we can't say Shachiyanu yet because we feel that we're not there. We haven't fully connected with Hashem. But if we understand what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf, and I'll explain it deeper in a second, we understand that we are completely attached to Hashem without any separation whatsoever once we cross that Yam. And we turn now to our final source from Rav Moshe Feinstein, an unbelievable insight into the way that a Jew speaks to Hashem. It comes from the Sefer Kol Ram, the writings of Rav Moshe Feinstein on Pesach, and he says the following. When we say Kedusha, when we daven with the minyan, and we have the opportunity during Chazaras Hashatz to answer Kedusha, notice the expressions that we use. And I put arrows to highlight it. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, the three expressions that we use in Kedusha correspond to two different angelic responses, and then the way that a Jew talks to Hashem. Let me explain what I mean. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, the first line of Kedusha we say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos. How many introductions do we need before we finally say Hashem? Three words, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. There are some lowly angels that need a lot of introduction before they get to Hashem. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Finally, Hashem Tzavakos. There are other angels called Seraphim. Right? We know the Rambam describes there are many different categories of angels. The Rambam in the Yesodei HaTorah says there are different types of angels. We know them. We know some of the names from our davening. So regular Malachim, Kadosh, 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 Hashem. What about Seraphim? What about those fiery angels that are called Seraphim? Baruch Kvod, by the second arrow, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimakomo. A little less introduction. They only need two words of introduction. Baruch Kvod, and then Hashem. But says Rav Moshe Feinstein, what's the third response? What's our third response in Kedusha? Afterwards, after the angels have said Kadosh, 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 three introductions, and then Hashem. And other angels have said, Baruch Kvod Hashem. The Jewish people finally have a chance to speak. And we need very little introduction. The only introduction that we need is what? One word, Yimloch Hashem Leolam. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Maskirim rak teva achas shel kavod kodem shem Hashem. We're so close to Hashem, we don't need to give these long-winded introductions. With one word of introduction, Yimloch, we can then say Hashem's name. That's the way that we respond, what? That's the way that we respond in Kedusha. But Moshe Rabbeinu, on behalf of the Jewish people, or along with the Jewish people, when they crossed the Yam Suf, they were able to talk to Hashem in an even more profound way, in an even closer way. How did Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of Az Yashir, how do we speak to Hashem? It's not Kadosh, 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 three introductions, Hashem Tzavakos. It's not Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo, two introductions. It's not even Yimloch Hashem Liolam, with one introduction. It's the phrase that we say at the end of Az Yashir, a pasuk in Chumash, Hashem Yimloch Liolam Va'ed. When the Jews crossed the Yam Suf, they were so close to Hashem, you don't need any introductions. You don't need to explain why you're talking to Hashem. You don't need to butter up Hashem with all sorts of honorific praises before you're able to finally say Hashem's name. A Jew, when he crossed the Yam Suf, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, there's a level of connection where you're straight away, you know, able to talk to Hashem without any introductions. Who was the Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva. Rabbi Tisyal Salman gave a mashal. He said, imagine this person who's a really tough businessman. One of these really like cutthroat, you know, ruthless businessman type. And he'll plow over anyone who gets in his way to make a buck. And yet, the rabbi of his shul notices that this ruthless businessman, this fellow who's so tough in the context of his financial dealings, he davens a very, very long Shmona Esrei. He seems like a very pious individual. He's known to have such a rough reputation in his business, and yet in shul he seems like this very Erlich Tzaddik. So the rabbi of the shul goes over to him, and he says to the fellow, I don't understand. He says, you know, your reputation is to be like this really tough guy who always gets what he wants, and yet I see that you daven Shmona Esrei for a really long time. So he says, Rabbi, let me explain. He says, I know exactly what I'm doing in business. I know exactly how to be successful. I don't need God's help to be successful. However, I know that God is very powerful. I know that Hashem is very, very powerful. And I know that if Hashem wanted, Hashem could get in my way. So I pray when I daven, I ask God to stay out of my way. Let me do my thing. I know how to be successful in business. I just ask, I don't need God's help. I just need God to stay out of my way so I could be successful. Obviously, that's a pretty low level. It's a level of connection to Hashem. It's a level of acknowledging Hashem, right? But it's acknowledging Hashem in a very negative way. Many of us would feel that a better way would be to what? To say, Be'ezras Hashem. I want to accomplish something in life. I want this to happen in my life. Be'ezras Hashem, with the help of Hashem. Why is that lacking as well? Because when a person gets to a higher level of Muna, you realize it's not me and Hashem helping me. It's Einod Movado. It's only Hashem. It's Hashem Yimloch Liolam Va'ed. There's no partnership. It's just Hashem. It's this realization there's nothing other than Hashem. And therefore, explains Rav Moshe Feinstein, when the Jewish people cross the Yam Suf, at the end of the Shira, so to speak, it's not the journey along the way of Kedusha, of Kadosh, 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 of Baruch Kvod, of Yimloch Hashem. There's points in a person's life, and again, it's what we experience on the way out of Mitzrayim, where we looked at Hashem and said, Einod Movado. It's not Hashem, stay out of my way so I can do my thing. It's not Be'ezras Hashem, we'll partner together. You'll add a little, I'll add a little. It's a realization of, first and foremost, Hashem, Yimloch Liolam Va'ed. And again, that's that clarity, it's that closeness that we felt by the Yam, and it's that opportunity that we have during these days to try to continue that, to try to continue to live with that, to not let go of that. Again, on the one hand, to be dissatisfied in the sense that I'm not there yet. I want to get to Har Sinai. I can't utter a Shechianu yet because I know that I have so much more that I want to get to. At the same time, as Beis Hillel told us, once we cross that Yam, the Geula in a certain sense is complete. And we're unbelievably close to Hashem. And therefore we have the right to talk to Hashem directly. Hashem, Yimloch Liolam Va'ed. We don't need to offer introductions. We don't need to offer explanations. We're just connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I give us a bracha. Again, going back to where we started. How did your Pesach go? If someone asks you in the next couple of days, how did Pesach go? Respond. Respond the way that Rav Meir Chadash, again, the Mashkiach from the Chevron Yeshiva, would respond. Pesach doesn't go. Pesach is not trying to go anywhere. Pesach is just getting started. Chasal Seder Pesach. Yes, we finished the Avoda of the Seder, but it's not even close to over. Again, remind ourselves the matzah is that food of Amunah. And just like Amunah is the starting point of all mitzvos, so matzah is the beginning of the journey. That if you spell out the word matzos, it's 613. If you spell out the word Pesach, it's 613. That it's patira in Aramaic. It's the opening, it's the beginning of the story. We're not able to make the Shachiyano just like at a wedding, it's the beginning of a journey of a marriage. So too, Sfiras HaOmer is the beginning of our journey to Har Sinai. But at the same time, we look back to the Yam Suf and we say, Hashem, Yimloch Li'olam Va'ed. We're unbelievably close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should be able to continue to feel that now throughout Sfiras HaOmer and Amir Tzashem every day of our lives. Thank you very, very much for learning with me. I hope everyone enjoys the rest of the semester, whatever's left of it. And Tzashem, next year we'll be zochet to start learning in person once again.